My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brat. He represents the Commonwealth's 7th Congressional District and is a member of the House Freedom Caucus. We've asked him to comment on the latest developments and reports concerning the health care debate, right now focused on the Senate side of Capitol Hill. And Congressman, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, hey, Greg, great to be with you.
Well, a lot has happened here in the last week or so. It was a week ago Thursday that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell unveiled the Senate Leadership Health Care Bill. And now, of course, he has to make changes to it because he doesn't have enough Republican votes to move on it. Let's start with the original bill. Would you be comfortable voting for what they initially unveiled?
Not as it was. And so the original bill coming out of the Senate kind of made all the wrong moves in the Obamacare direction, which is shocking. And so it's not just about adding, you know, some more coverage or helping more people. That's the way most people are thinking about this. But what I think people have lost track of is just economics 101. Obamacare is in the ditch because of its own economic logic. And that Obamacare logic was just about 100% attention paid to coverage and no attention paid to the price of health care. And so as a result, people were covered with high, you know, gold-plated health insurance policies, but no one could afford health coverage. And that's the basic problem. And then prices doubled, 105% increase in your price tag at home for health care since Obamacare. That's over double the price, and it's already very expensive. And the Senate package kept moving more and more and more in that direction, and at least the House package had a little bit of room to negotiate some of the regulations, and the regulations are Obamacare. If you don't get rid of the Obamacare regulations, a young person cannot go out and buy a catastrophic package out of college. And so they're left with a, you know, some gold-plated plan with a $2,000 or $3,000 deductible, and I don't know a whole lot of college grads with $2,000 or $3,000 in their pocket. So that's the basic outline of that bill.
Congressman, what do you make of the way the Republican vote broke down? Initially, we got those first four out there: Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Ron Johnson, saying largely what you're saying here. This isn't close enough to what we promised the voters, and it doesn't guarantee a reduction in premiums, which was obviously a key factor in the changes made to the House bill. At the same time, though, the bill would still sink based on votes of other people saying this doesn't go far enough. It's not generous enough with Medicaid and other government expenditures. You got people wanting to spend billions, tens of billions on opioid treatment programs and so forth. So what's your reaction to Republicans saying there's not enough government in this bill?
Well, that gets us kind of to the end of the story, too. I mean, the Freedom Caucus started off knowing this would be the political outcome. And so the rational politics would have been initially to repeal Obamacare, which all of those senators voted for when it didn't count, right?
Right.
So they all voted for the 2015 package to repeal Obamacare. And Mitch McConnell, the leader, says we're going to repeal and root and branch. Well, that's fairly drastic language. If you're a plant, that's bad news. And so we were hoping they'd go in that direction. And so this is a leadership problem, right? When you vote 50 times to repeal, and then you tell the American people you're going to repeal, and then in the end you end up here very close to Obamacare logic, that is not good for the Republican brand. And so this latest set of bills is polling at, you know, 20% or so, instead of getting price down. If you believe in free markets and the standard American package of free enterprise, et cetera, that will deliver the goods, right? Everybody knows these eye surgeries that started off at $6,000 per eye are down to $450 per eye to get your laser, you know, Tiger Woods eye surgery.
Right.
And so that's what the market can do if you let it alone. But if you let the government intervene, you end up with Medicare, which is insolvent in 2034. You end up with Social Security for the kids, which is insolvent in 2034. $20 trillion in debt, $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities to those major programs, and we're going to add more government. So it's cynical, and we have to have the courage to stand up. And I still believe in the American people. If you stand up and tell them the truth, and give them a tough message that's going to make them better off in the long run, I think they'll come through for us.
We're talking with Dave Bratt, Congressman from Virginia's 7th Congressional District, member of the House Freedom Caucus. Let me have you answer your own question here when it comes to political courage. And really, it's just doing what they promised to do. Why is it so easy to promise on the campaign trail, but when they get to Washington, they get a little more wobbly, as Margaret Thatcher used to say? Is it they would say it's the reality of the process, perhaps? You can only do so much in the Senate with the narrow margins. What is the reason why the campaign rhetoric doesn't match the legislative rhetoric?
Well, up in D.C., you got to appease the swamp, right? So there's all sorts of money, special interests you have to appease, and you make promises there. And then if you're in tough seats, you got to try to support your tough seats. But more than that, the Senate, I do appreciate they're in a tough predicament. They're all running statewide, right? It's like running for governor.
Right.
So they got to win the whole state. And then you look at this latest, you know, brouhaha over Trump and the tweets and everybody. But the media owns the ink. Right. So if you're a conservative senator, after we passed the House bill, the mainstream media repeated misinformation and fake news for the next week. And it was one simple line. House bill gets rid of pre-existing conditions. Everybody with pre-existing conditions is on their own and there's going to be death in the streets. Right. So that it is daunting to have confidence in the people back home that they can see through that message when that's all you see as a politician is that mainstream media, right? CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, House guts, right? They use guts, destroys, obliterates, all these crazy words. And then they say, you know, politicians, you guys got to be more civil as they just lambaste us with falsehoods constantly. So that's the reason. If you're in office, it's very hard to try to overcome that messaging with rationality. And now there's a new report out. I don't know if you saw it this morning, but the Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has a post on it. The new CBO score, the numbers went from 21 or 22 million without coverage down to 7 million and relatively not much difference between the Senate bill and Obamacare when you use the proper CBO baseline. And so the media, you know, they recognize every truth under the sun, except for the most obvious truths that hurt the leftist agenda. And so once that gets out there, I mean, boy, that's a whopper of a headline.
Congressman, one of the things that's been talked about a lot in the last couple of days, especially by Rand Paul and President Trump, is to do these things separately. Do the repeal, wait, work on the bill, and get the replacement in place. Is that a smarter approach? Because you'll at least get rid of the worst parts of Obamacare, or are we just going to kick the goalpost down to the point where we're going to have this same fight over what we can get across the goal line in terms of a new policy down the road?
Yeah, well, I love the idea, obviously. That's what the House Freedom Caucus proposed, the same thing back in January. You first repeal, and then you have the leverage to work with the Democrats. There's no shortage of people who want to add programs in D.C. and the swamp, right? So you first repeal, and then the floodgates are open to add, and you can get as many votes as you want from any politician to say yes. Politicians love to say yes. So that would have been a brilliant move to have done back in January. The only trick with it, and it's a critique of our own policy, is the federal government is so enmeshed in Medicare, Medicaid, all of the health programs, all the regulations, everything, the insurance market, that replacement does have to come pretty quickly behind. And so, you know, that's part of the trick of this free market move. Right off the bat, you will destabilize the big insurance companies, right? If you move toward a free market and have you're trading across state lines, etc., that would be awesome. But you will destabilize the biggies who walked into the White House 7 or 8 years ago and made a deal knowing they were going to get 20 million new customers paying huge premiums for these gold-plated packages. So they're loving life. Health stocks are up this week. Insurance stocks are up. They're all up. And so that, again, makes politicians very nervous when you destabilize the big boys. But this country was not set up, right? James Madison from my county and Adam Smith from across the pond, founder of free market economics, both of them had the exact same logic. You want a large number of small competitors duking it out in this country. And we've lost that. That's the American way. Instead, we got a few huge oligopolies running from D.C., which the elites can put their thumb down on, and that's why the American person is getting hammered right now. And we got to change that.
A couple quick questions before we let you go, sir. First of all, do you think you will get separate bills, or that's just wishful thinking at this point? What do you think the leadership is likely to do if there's still no traction in the Senate?
I went to seminary, so I'll be praying for it, but I'm doubtful. That would be too good of news. I don't think we got a big enough spine to carry that off, but I'll be praying.
Well, if that was a depressing question, let me finish with this one then,
right?
Because you and I have talked about the problem with entitlements and how this is looming and how it has to be addressed. And soon, not that long from now, every dollar of federal revenue is going to be going towards Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, unless we do something drastic about that in the meantime.
Right.
So what do you make of so many Republicans, not just the ones who are opposed to the current Senate bill, but the ones defending it, pounding the table, saying Republicans are not looking to reduce the size of the Medicaid program?
Well, both of them are true. Medicaid, right? The left, the talking point is we're slashing $800 billion or something over 10 years from a baseline that was growing at 9 or 10%, right? The rate of a rocket ship taking off. Instead, the truth is it's going to grow at health inflation, which is higher than inflation plus 1%. And so Medicaid is going to grow 20% over the next 10 years. And so that's not a cut, right? In the Senate bill, they're still adding to Medicaid expansion slots for the next several years. So no one's losing Medicaid slots. You're gaining Medicaid slots. Mm-hmm. And the full funding is going up. So, I mean, that's we're up against a messaging war that doesn't, you know, like English language or mathematics or Econ 101. So it's a tough ride.
Wow. Congressman, enjoy your 4th of July break. Enjoy your time with your family, and we'll see where this heads in the days once you get back to town. Thanks very much for your time today.
Awesome. Thanks, Greg.
You bet, sir. Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brett represents his state's 7th Congressional District, member of the House Freedom Caucus. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.